So we're on this roller coaster, right? We've been on I feel like we've been on this roller coaster with Moses. Or water park, sorry. It could be a water roller coaster. It could be a water roller coaster. It happens. We're on this amusement park ride of some sort. And there's water. And I feel like we've been on it with Moses. I feel like we've been cruising around in this park with Moses a lot. And so I get to talk to you today about the golden calf. First of all, I just have to say, the Old Testament is not a real comfortable place for me. I haven't spent my entire life diving in. Now, Nancy could probably preach brilliantly in every book of the Old Testament and bring something we could all walk away with and chew on for the next week. But I struggle with the Old Testament. And here's why. When we're raised in the church, and I'm not saying all of us have been raised in the church, but when you've been raised in the church, you hear all those Old Testament stories, okay? You hear all of them over and over, and you see them on the felt board, and you see them in quirky little videos that were made badly, and you see them acted out with costumes that somebody's grandma made out of old draperies in the basement so that they solidify into your brain when you're a kid. And then when you become an adult, so often they're just like back there, you know? They're foundational, though, but you don't bring them forward a lot of times because I like to hang out in the New Testament. I like to be involved in the new. I'm not good at following rules, so I like to be in the new stuff because the Old Testament's full of. So this was challenging. We're in Exodus 32. Old Testament, and my first thought was, bleh, bleh. You know, I know all the stories about Moses in the bush and Moses in the Red Sea and Moses in the Ten Commandments and blah, 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 blah. So I read the scripture in Exodus 32, and I thought to myself, okay, what are we going to do with this? And then my friend Dawn, and if anyone doesn't know, my very best friend Dawn, who lives in Tennessee, is here. My golden calf is Dawn, and we're going to talk about idols today. Because it totally segues right into the right focus, right? I'm also going to try to do this electronically today, so I'm not using paper, so if I get lost, just know I'm winging it. And if I hit the wrong button and it goes away, yeah. So before we go any further, I thought maybe it would be a good idea in this very moment. It says pray in my notes. So I want to pray for us this morning and help get us ready for what God's going to do with this whole golden calf, Exodus 32, Old Testament, blah. So let's pray. Father, I know you have something for us this morning in this, and I know that as this was mulling around in my brain this week and you were trying to help me figure out what words to use and what direction to go and how to best communicate it, that you had a plan, and I'm here today to be the voice of the plan, and I ask that you use me and you open us up to what you've got for us so that we all walk away with something to chew on this week. So help us to be focused and open to new things. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, God knows that I have to constantly be reminded to pay attention to where my heart goes. Anybody else there? Or is there anybody, let's do this. If there's anybody in the room that totally has their heart focused on the right things at all times, always, please reveal yourself to us now because we'd like to know that Jesus himself is in the room physically. Because other than that, I'm pretty sure the rest of us are just working on it, right? I will never forget, this is something that stuck with me a long, long time ago, and I will never forget this. I heard a message once. A pastor had this great visual aid, and he had this great big, huge, red wooden heart on wheels, okay? And he had this great big stack of money on wheels, okay? And the message that day was, and he would pull it, and he would say, where your money goes, your heart will follow. And then he'd talk about something else, and then he'd turn it around, and he'd go, where your money goes, your heart will follow. And this has stuck with me many times during many decision-making moments. Okay, is this where I want my heart to go and therefore I should place my money or my time or whatever? And it has helped me in a lot of moments. And it actually helped me in this moment because I feel like I'd be lying if I said that we always put our money where we should. We always put our time where we should. We always put our focus where we're supposed to. And I'm guessing there's at least one or two people in the room that would probably agree with me. I could stand here for a bit of time and I could list off all of the moments when my heart has followed my money right into trouble. And all of you just went there in your heads where you're thinking of a moment when something led your heart into trouble or challenge or darkness or whatever. And it may not be money. It could be lots of other things. It could be our time. It could be our energy. It could be our passion or our focus. But inevitably, wherever we put these things, our heart follows. Would you agree with that? Okay. Thank you, tech person. So the Israelites in Exodus 32 are thinking they want gods that they can follow. Now, I could read you all of chapter 32. I'm not going to do that. What I would like you to do is this next week, read chapter 32 and see how you can connect the dots from today to when you're reading. The situation that they're in, Moses has led them to this point that they feel that they don't know what he's doing. And they say to this Aaron, they say, you know, where is he? We don't know where he is. They can't see him. In my Bible that I was using to reference at home, they can't see him because he's gone up. You know, he's gone and he's talking to God and all that stuff. And so they can't, he's not tangible. They can't say, oh, he's my leader. My person I'm following is right here. So they need something. They want something that they can feel, that they can see, that they can, because you can trust something easier that you can see in front of you, right? And you can follow something easier that's in front of you. Remember that. You can follow something easier that you can see, touch, and have faith that it's there. So they're not happy, and they're squealing, and they're whining. And so Aaron says, collect all the earrings and stuff, and throws the gold into the fire, and then this calf comes out of this situation. And all of a sudden, now they've got something that they're idolizing, they're following, they're focusing on, they're worshiping and all that stuff. And they throw this, you know, big old party, and they're, you know, there's an altar built, and it's just all going on. And, you know, they're satisfied again and all is well. But God's up there and Moses is up there and God's like, Moses, dude, your people are, you got to get down there. Things are going awry. This is not what's supposed to be happening right now. And I'm sure that's exactly how God said it. I'm sure that he said, Moses, dude, because my God's cool like that. Moses, you got to get down there. You got to take care of this. They're making a mess of things, and you need to get on it. I'm really mad, and I'm going to destroy them. And Moses is like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, can you imagine yourself calming God down? Whoa, back up the truck. Just chill a minute. Just back up. I would be foolish enough to think I could pull that off. But Moses says to God, you know, just give me a minute. Let me fix this. Okay? And then Moses goes and he sees what's going on and he's really mad at himself. And it goes on from there. This is the portion of this that I want us to focus on. Here's the thing. How easy did it seem for these people just to bail after he was out of sight? You know, after he was gone, they say, I read some sort of reference material that said maybe he was up there 6 weeks. Nance, can you confirm or deny that? Nancy's the knower of all things, so if she says yes or no, then it's fine. I'm not just, you know, spewing things out of my mouth. So if you remember, last week Nancy talked about zombies. She didn't start talking about zombies, but then she realized she was talking about zombies. So she was referring to the blind following, you know. And I don't know if y'all have ever watched movies with zombies in them, but it kind of is this thing where, like, they go after this person, but then it's like, oh, squirrel. Oh, you know, and they just keep, it just keeps shifting. But it's this this blind following that these zombies do. And that's what we tend to do sometimes. Oh, shiny. And we go over here. It's, oh, chocolate cake. Oh, that's impressive. And you know, we blindly go after these things. We follow, our heart follows these things blindly and sometimes unintentionally. We get ourselves caught or imprisoned by the very things we allow our hearts to follow. Something draws us in. Ooh, it's pretty. And we don't know what to do. That's us. Have you ever heard the phrase, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also? These are the things that popped into my head as I was writing and reading this week. Where your treasure is that there your heart will be also. How about this? Have you ever heard the phrase, where your feet are pointed is where you'll go? Have you ever heard that reference? Okay, everybody stand up. No, really, everybody stand up. No, on my feet, Deb. Yes, on your feet. Okay, now, everybody face this way. So where are your feet pointed? Now, unless you're going to walk backwards, which is dangerous and nobody's got time for that, we're going to go in this direction, are we not? Okay, now everybody turn around and face this way. Where are your feet pointed? So where are you going to go most likely? Okay, everybody face that way. Don't walk out the door. Okay, you can sit back down. You see what I'm getting at? Where your feet are pointed, and I know that's a duh, but stop and think. Where your feet are pointed is where you will go. If I'm being drawn by this and my feet are pointed this way, my heart is following. So what's the best course of action to avoid the shiny, tangible, and things that may not be where God wants you to go? What's the easiest thing to do to avoid that? Now, I'm not saying that there's not things, having wants and desires is a bad thing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that this golden calf thing in Exodus 32 drew their attention away from what was important. And they started worshiping something that wasn't important. They drew away their focus and they stopped focusing on God and they stopped focusing on, you know, having faith in their leader. And we can do that so easily. A leader makes a bad choice or a bad decision and all of a sudden we're ready to crucify them. You know, somebody makes a financial mistake that costs a business money and then they try to recoup from that and everybody's ready to jump ship and go find a different job. We lose focus so easily by the shiny and the tangible and the next easiest best thing. A shiny car like Nancy's Escalade that she talks about all the time. You know her black shiny Escalade that she dreams about? Yep. There it is. A high-class job, a fancy ring, a big house, a new swimming pool. Now, these things might be what God intends for your life. And I'm not saying anyone should begrudge themselves the things that are truly things that God intends for us. But it may not be, and we need to be open and willing to avoid the idols and wait. In other words, if God's got something shiny in front of me and I'm just not sure that that's from God, then I wait. Because he will reveal to me that that is what he wants me to have. But he'll also not reveal it so that I wait for what he has for me. So what's the best course of action to avoid these idols that we so easily fall prey to? Seek God first. When we go to God first, when we seek God first, his plan, his path, his word, when we seek God first, that's when the reveal comes. That's when the aha moment happens and you're like, oh, gosh, I'm so glad I didn't go after that job because this is what God has for me. And I feel deeply fulfilled in what I'm doing. And I've had that, I can honestly tell you that I've had that experience personally. When I switched my career, so to speak, a year ago, I was jumping big time from one thing to another, and I was really kind of unsure. And I didn't know what to do because, let's face it, when you do a certain thing for a certain amount of years and then your skill set for other things kind of declines as a result, then all of a sudden, Lori, you know, because you've made job changes, all of a sudden you're like, okay, I don't know how to do that like everybody else does anymore. You know, I don't know the latest computer programs, or I don't know this. And so that shift, so I had to wait. And then God put the exact right person in the exact right conversation, in the exact right moment, and I knew for sure that was the shiny thing I was supposed to follow. And there hasn't been one moment in the last year when I've thought, ooh, did I? There's lots of people that have said to me, are you sure you made the right choice? Are you really sure? But honestly, I haven't been this happy and fulfilled and confirmed that I'm doing what God wants me to do in a very long time. So I know that shiny that I followed was what I was supposed to be doing. Seek God first. Then all the things fall into place and are added. I was kicking myself. John will appreciate this. I was kicking myself when I was writing because I thought, we should have done Seek Ye First. We so should have sang Seek Ye First. Now, I'm not going to sing it to you because nobody's got time for that. But listen to the words, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Seek God first, then. Seek God first, then. Not maybe or hopefully, it's then. They'll be added unto you. It might not be the ad that you're looking for, but it will be added unto you. It's hard though, isn't it? It's so hard and it's overwhelming, but it's totally worth it, and it doesn't feel like it sometimes. If I just chase after this, then I can have that. But all the other kids are doing it. If I go on this diet, then I can look like her or him. The grass is greener on that side. It's all an illusion. It's like an idol. It's most often and not of God. We worship that golden calf, just like those Israelites couldn't see Moses, so they wanted to move on. Give us someone or something we can follow. We find something to latch onto, and we follow it like a zombie, hoping it brings us joy and freedom that we're searching for. The only freedom that we get is when we seek God first, and then he will free us of those other things and help us to focus on what he wants for us. We have someone to follow. At the beginning of the message, I talked about, you know, those of us who grew up in the church heard the Old Testament stories, and we know them like the back of our hands, and we could probably make our own felt boards, but not all of us grew up in the church. Some of it for us is fresh and new, and that is fantastic. And if that's who you are, you should attach yourself to somebody who heard them and saw them on the felt board. Because between the two of you, you can figure out and work out how you're going to grasp onto those things, and it's going to work best for you, and you're going to understand it, and it's going to work in your life. Just because you didn't learn them as a child does not mean that they don't have value. And I don't want anybody to walk away saying, well, Michelle said I don't have to read the Old Testament because I didn't learn it as a kid, so I don't have to know that stuff. Yes, we do. It's important. When we put our treasures in God, our hearts follow. When we seek God first, it all falls into place in his way and in his timing, not ours. When we seek God first, it's his timing. If you haven't experienced this, I want to encourage you, and I'll promise you that when you put down your idols, whatever they are, when you point your feet toward Jesus, no matter what direction they are now or where they've been in the past, you truly seek God first before all things, then all these things will be added unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.